Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Men Let's Have a Conversation. Today is a very special episode. Myself and Jordan Mangan were chatting and we said let's get together and start talking about like the common issues that we see a lot of lads, especially in the Irish culture, facing and stuff like that. And just two of us just said we'll get together and spitball a few ideas and chat about some of the common things that we're seeing. And one of these topics is nice guy syndrome, or being a nice guy. And it's something that came into our peripheral view as on our personal development journey. And at the end of the day, it's not something you'd actually realize. It's not something we're very much educated around, but it does have such a massive effect on your life, your relationships, your business. And we are like, to kick off this kind of series that we're going to do, let's get together and talk about this, because it's something that both of us have worked through and I'm currently still doing a few work-ons with it. So we said, look, let's chat about it. Jordan, welcome.
Great to be here, Paul. I'm excited for this chat, man. I think there's going to be a lot of cool stuff for people to really think about as we go through this conversation. Like you said, it's something that we're all developing on and really getting a better understanding of as we navigate the world as men. But just a short introduction of myself. Like, I coach guys basically one-to-one to master their mind, usually guys who are starting off in either sales or business and who are really struggling with things like procrastination, focus, and things like that. So, yeah. Hopefully there's a couple of good insights I can share with the guys here.
So to just kick things off, because obviously we're doing our own research on it and looking at our own sides of it. So like in your own terms, what would you say it is to be a nice guy in the modern day?
Yeah, great question, man. So the way I see it, based on my own personal experience as well, I think the nice guy approach is really just a social strategy. Right? It's a way to get what you want out of a situation, a relationship, or whatever it is. Now, this, from my understanding, really just comes from the way we're raised, the things that we pick up on in society, and basically just the things that we see online and how we're basically taught to think. Okay, I think that's a big part of where it comes from. So like the way I see it is really like a social strategy. And if I do this, if I operate this way, then I can get the outcome that I want. So that's the way I see it. But I would love to hear your thoughts on it as well.
Yeah, I was doing a deep research into it, and obviously the person who coined the term is Dr. Robert Glover. He wrote the book, No More Mr. Nice Guy. And I came across it about, like I said, it was like 15 months ago, and there was a couple of characteristics like in it. And when I heard them, I was like, fuck it, like Jesus Christ. It just was like so many breakthroughs. And some of the things that you'll find is you avoid conflict at all costs. What you see in a nice guy is they keep their words smooth. Like they don't have beliefs. And I found this myself. I was very smooth in my language in terms of I wouldn't be very right-winged or very left-winged in case conflict would stir or anything like that. Difficulty making your needs a priority. Like, and the other thing as well for me, it definitely in my early 20s was seeking approval from others. And that was actually the same in my first 2 years in business. It's a freelance. I was like, this guy that's traveling the world and doing these cool things. And a lot of it was self-seeking. And when I found the book then, it was like, fuck Jesus Christ. There were so many characteristics that, like that, it was social behavior to have. So I say for me, it's this idea that you're just being nice. You don't really have core values or core beliefs. And you very rarely stand up for the things that you believe in. And if you do, you're very quick to back down from it because of that kind of conflict.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that, man. I think for me personally, it was a number of years ago where I became firstly aware of the idea of what it was and began to understand it. And I was reading something very similar. I don't think it was that book specifically, even though I'm very familiar with that book. It was another resource. I think it was just something that came up through online, maybe it was through YouTube. I can't remember exactly, but it was just going through some of the characteristics, some of the things that show up if you are that type of person. And I remember looking back, let's say 5 or 6 years ago, I could resonate with a lot of the characteristics. And then I would look at my own life and see how that was showing up in my relationships and showing up in just my overall being and like the things that I was doing. And I realized that I was putting this persona out into the world, trying to be the nice guy, basically, to and this is why it comes back to the social strategy, trying to get what I want using this way of thinking, not being too far left, not being too far right, but not pissing anybody off and just being neutral. And when you do that, you get drowned out in the noise. And it was really when I started to get into business like 4 years ago where that became a proper issue, because when it comes to marketing specifically, like if you're neutral and you're drowned out in the noise, you're not too far left, you're not too far right, then you get a little bit forgotten about. And that's where to show up a little bit more, because if you're going after clients, if you're going to be in sales, anything related to that, then that will reflect back to you the things that you need to improve. And that's where I really started to work on it, as well as how it showed up in relationships with women and things like that as well. So yeah, man, I think you touched on a lot of good points there.
Yeah, I think with business, and this is one thing, I, especially with guys I work with as well and stuff, the lads in business, the one thing about business is like it pulls out the behaviors that like you wouldn't be consciously aware of. And if you want to grow and want to get better at it, like that's the thing about it. You can't actually hide from these things, the mindset, the kind of behaviors and stuff like that. And the nice guy thing, I actually had a client, man, and a brilliant client. We actually became close. But my nice guy behaviors, right, it lined up like this. I would be afraid to actually say the things I wanted to say in case that would hurt the client. And that actually, and by doing that, I was always given what the client wanted or whatever. I was still having the boundaries and stuff in place and stuff. And then I went on for about a year, grew a great relationship with the client, but I never showed the actual more assertive side of myself direct. No, this is how we should be doing. And when I actually, like when I started working on this, doing this work, I started putting in boundaries in place and being more direct. And so the client wasn't used to that behavior and thought it was like a personal attack on them. And obviously, so the relationship completely fell apart. And it was like a ruined relationship, not from her point of view, from my own point of view, because of my own nice guy behaviors of, okay, I'm going to show myself this way, so I'll be this kind of agreeable person.
Yep.
And it's just, it's interesting that it happens. And it happens in not just the client point of view, but because it was happening in the client point of view, I could actually see it happening in my relationships and stuff like that. And that's what I'm saying. The business kind of draws that out of you. I suppose one thing we want to point on here, guys, is being a nice guy and being the opposite of that is like being a jerk. That's not what you want. A nice guy is somebody who's they're dishonest because they're afraid to actually show their flaws, their mistakes. They're afraid to see what people have these perceived perceptions of their mistakes and stuff like that. So they'll be secretive and try and hide things subconsciously, manipulative because they don't know how to get their own needs met. And they'll find ways to manipulate their ways of getting their needs met. And actually, nice guys are the guys that are full of rage. You'd often hear them like say, "It doesn't bother me. I'll do whatever. As long as you're happy, I'm happy." But deep down, they actually deny their anger. And we actually might touch on that later on in the podcast, where denying your anger and that kind of part of yourself, it's a dangerous game because obviously you just lash out in other ways. You could turn on like your partner, you could turn on your friends. You just get fucking cross for no reason. And these are like the traits of what happens, the problems of being the nice guy. Like,
yeah, absolutely, man. Because it can show up in some strange ways as well, like self-sabotage. And really, it comes down to being able to process your emotions. Because naturally, as men, we have more testosterone than we do have compared to women, right? Which means we have other emotions like anger, fear, things like that, that come up more frequently for us. And a lot of the time when you are taking on and embodying these nice guy traits is because you're repressing these emotions that need to be processed and channeled into something more positive. Because a lot of the time it comes from the way we believe these emotions should be handled, like things like anger, things like resentment. They're considered bad in society, right? It's a bad thing to express some sort of anger. Now, of course, you don't go around and just being expressing that emotionally and not being able to handle that, but being able to integrate that into your personality and allowing yourself to feel those things as part of who you are and using that to actually become fully whole rather than just passive aggressive and things like that, which is not you truly accepting the emotion. It's just trying to shove it away to the side, and then it comes out in this other weird way. So there's a lot of different ways it comes up for sure, but I think processing emotions is really going to be the biggest thing that comes to this, because it brings it to the surface, allows you to handle it full on.
Yeah, definitely the emotion side of thing, and that's one of the key points, say, for an average bloke in today's society who's just going about life and stuff like that, but they want to develop themselves a bit more, build on themselves and stuff. And what I call him, you know, what we call him is the modern day man, like the confident in business, doing his work, he's on his mission, he's on his purpose and stuff like that. And a big part of that is like you'll very much struggle to embody that practice with these nice guy behaviors, because you're repressing like your anger. And a lot of anger, a lot of like energy that comes, I don't know, there's been so many situations now, because I'm starting to learn these things, is I get angry and I have like my own practices of release, but sometimes I can channel it into work, And which is, okay, I'm aware of this emotion, I'm angry at this thing. Now I can let this kick me down and get me in the ground, or and actually start channeling this into productive work. And where a lot of guys find is actually going to channel that in some form or way of like drugs, addictive behavior, alcohol, stuff like that, and which takes you away from embodying the core embodiment of the modern day man.
Exactly, man. Exactly. I know for me personally as well, when I started to become more aware of my emotions and like that they were ruling my life a little bit, because when they're not handled, when they're not processed and they're not channeled into something positive, like for example, either whether it's work, business, the gym, whatever it is, then they can rule you and they pull you in all these different directions. And then you seek to, because it's uncomfortable, right? So you seek to get rid of them or to remove that feeling, that pain or whatever it may be that you're going through at the time, either at the bottom of a bottle, through drugs, through alcohol, anything at all. And that's where it becomes a danger, because then habits form and then that becomes part of your life. And then it leads into this lifestyle overall that just started from not being able to process emotions. And that can also be tied to the nice guy syndrome that we're talking about here. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I suppose when I first learned about this and okay, where does this thing actually come from? And look, my parents weren't bad people, and I'm not going to go down the road of speaking about the things. There was a term though that I was always told, like when I was younger growing up, oh, you're just like your father. And it was said to me in a bad way. Now this was completely unconscious. My mother was just like saying things to me as a child, as all mothers do or whatever. But a lot of the times it was those behaviors in which like that was kind of more masculine, like anger, aggression and stuff like that. If I showed these type of behaviors, because I actually came from like a more female dominated background. So what happens is like in certain situations, when you're a child or when you're younger, you're more egocentric, which means you believe everything is more your fault. Younger kids, if like parents go through divorce at a young age, the child will think it's actually their fault, because it's the way the mind is working. They're still trying to figure out their place in the world. And I'm not going to get too deep into the psychology of it because I'm not a professional in that field. But what happens when you get these kind of moments of I show anger, I show rage, or I show some part of me that I presume is to be accepted in the world, but it's not accepted. It's not accepted by, say, my peers. It's not accepted by like my family, my mother, my father, and it's shamed. And what happens is that we create this kind of thing called toxic shame. And toxic shame is the idea that we can't show this part to ourselves or else we'll get hurt. If we show that part to ourselves and we do get hurt, our ego is going to be like, at a young age, but okay, we can never do this again. It's too dangerous for us to show up this way because there's all this emotion that happens after it. And so we create the nice guy traits. So being direct and assertive, I would have tried to be direct and assertive as a child. It was like, oh, some sort of a negative trait towards it, then written negative response. And over time, then it's just, okay, the right way to be is nice. I also was very like, I also had this idea that I had to please my mother all the time. Like all the time. Like when she was upset, she was sad, I had to fix the problem. That was my duty to fix the problem. And that, of course, is one of the traits of a nice guy. As I grew up, then, like, especially with women, man, it was like, okay, if the woman was upset or mad or angry, I had to fix it. It wasn't a case of, like, I apologize, I take responsibility, or I do anything to actually please the woman, rather than be like, listen, sometimes your emotions are your own emotions. Like, they're not my responsibility. I understand you're upset. I understand that. But that's not, I'm being true to who I am. I'm being true to that kind of assertive side of myself. And it was just so fascinating when I found that out, because when I could tail back, there's so many, I had a diary of all these like situations with girls and friends and stuff like that, where actually they weren't being a bad person at all. It was my own like seeking for that validation, kind of approval of an authoritarian figure that was causing the trouble.
Yeah, man, I could resonate with a lot of that, because a very similar upbringing, like for sure, where there wasn't a very strong masculine figure in my life, and I was always searching for that, and you search for that in sometimes friends and other people as well. And definitely had something similar when it came to my mother as well, just being that kind of like support as well. And really, if we look at what you mentioned there, which comes from like the toxic shame, so you're suppressing that part of yourself, right? And you present this persona to the world Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist and psychologist, talked about the concept of the shadow, right? So that's like the parts of us that are not accepted when we're younger. So that whatever is accepted by society, the people around us, the friends that we have, is what kind of forms our personality. And then anything that's not accepted, depending on your upbringing and everything that was around you, is just suppressed into the shadow in this case. And then anything that is related to that specific time where it showed those traits or those characteristics where it's suppressed in the shadow, then that's something that is going to bring up that shame every single time. So you're going to try to run from that, basically, like you mentioned. And I think a lot of this, man, when it comes to this kind of persona, it really just comes from underlying things from like insecurity, like resentment, like unacknowledged desires that we all have, right? Yeah. The desire for power, the desire for status, the desire for these things that naturally we want. And a lot of it actually comes from just the processing of that is actually comes from allowing yourself to want those things and understanding that you're not this perfect human being and you're going to want things that probably are unaccepted by society, and that's actually okay. And just understanding that it's not something you have to act on, but it's also just allowing yourself to think those thoughts, to have those emotions, to feel that way. And I think that's one of the biggest steps towards taking like that ownership over it again.
One of those desires, man, and this was, I actually got this from a session with Saudi Khan, that psychologist. She's quite popular. He was doing a group session and she's talking about like even desires, and one of the desires guys have, and this is why they repress towards porn and stuff like that, is their sexual desire for women. And the amount of guys that are ashamed of the fact that they see a beautiful woman and be like, oh, do you know, like they be desiring her. And there's absolutely no shame in wanting that, because we're biologically, that's our program, biologically. Mm-hmm. Want those things in their lives. And they hold so much shame towards it, or wanting to do some weird shit with their partner and stuff like that, but they have so much shame towards it. And that's one of these nice guy things, is the sexual part of it as well, is a struggle to actually talk about their needs. It was actually one of the things which I was reading about it, but I suppose I never actually had a trouble with asking a girl for whatever, like when sleeping together or whatever like that. And I was speaking to one of the guys about it. It was about 9 months ago, and he was like, man, like, how would you be asking? Like, and I was like, I don't really care about it. Like, do you know, what's she going to say? No. And it's interesting because I had so many other different nice guy traits. But then for this part of it, it didn't really bother me. But so many guys would be like, no, I can't have these sexual desires and stuff like that, which is a suppressant. So what will happen then is they use manipulative techniques to try and get a girl to do what they want, which, out being direct or clear. And that, again, is the core of it, just because you're not acceptant of a desire that we naturally, as lads, will have.
Yeah, that's fascinating, man. I'd like, to be honest, I never really had too much issue with that either, but I can see how that would show up, because it again, like we said at the beginning, man, it shows up in some strange ways. Like you don't feel like you're allowed, you don't feel like you should be able, you don't feel like you should want this type of thing, whatever that may be for you. And yeah, again, it's going to cause a lot of conflict internally, because you're not really allowing yourself to express yourself fully. So comes back to the social strategy. If your strategy to get a woman, for example, or to do anything in life, is that nice guy strategy, then whatever you can, or whatever you're going to do, is that just is going to be based around presenting that persona that you feel is acceptable for the certain situation as to how to get what you want, rather than just being authentic and expressing what you truly want yourself deep down.
Yeah, it's such a thing, like I said at the start of this podcast, that it's not something we're really educated about or brought no awareness to whatsoever. And it's, you're seeing it more and more now in the more modern day society, because of like in our society now, a lot of times fathers are out working or stuff like that. And like you said, like you branched off, you didn't have that kind of masculine role model. And unfortunately, like, this is no discredit to women. Women can't teach guys to be, guys can't teach women to be women. It's just, it's not, we don't think, act, or have the same emotional body. And like, when you dive into it and realize it's okay, I do need these kind of more masculine role models, or even a group of men. And this is a big thing. If you're around guys that you can't actually talk about these things, this is where it's going to be hard, because one of the first steps to actually change the behavior is to be open and say, talk about, like, to admit the fact that, like, you sometimes lie, or you have dishonesty, or you're passive aggressive to other guys who are going to help you and stand there and be there for you. Like, when I joined a men's mastermind, and one of the biggest things, man, from that is being around guys and having a space, listen, I'm going through this thing, and they're just so understanding of it. Like, and yeah, what I want to point out here is if you are wanting to go down the route to change a nice guy's behaviors, is like having that kind of community where you can change these things, or these, or be around guys at least, even where you're allowed to admit these things and there is no shame around it. Because when we hold shame towards it, and that's what Jung talked about, is like when we hold towards shame towards it, there is so much power behind it. And it's about neutralizing it then.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I think one of the biggest realizations that I had on my own just personal development journey in general is to, yeah, be part of these communities. Get a coach, get somebody to be there for you, so that not only can they be a shoulder there for you, like to listen to that, to anything that you have going on, or just to be there for you, but also to hold you to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's enough guys out there who are at a higher standard. I know that because I wasn't there myself. If we go back a couple of years, I was at a very low standard of just who I was as a man. And I wasn't proud of myself. And when you're not proud of yourself, then you're naturally going to be trying to cheat your way through life, which is becoming a nice guy in a way. So when you start to raise your standards, when you get more consistent in the gym, you maybe start something like kickboxing or something like that to channel your aggression, for example. And then you jump into, let's say, business, or you pursue something that you feel is meaningful. All of a sudden, your life becomes more purposeful, more meaningful. And then you can raise your standards in accordance to that, because you have to level up if you want these things that you desire, these goals that you have. And when you do that, and then let's say you have support, you have a community, maybe you have a coach you're working with as well, you are being held to a higher standard consistently by the goals that you have, the things that you're pursuing, and then also the people around you as well. It's, you have no choice but to level up who you are. And I think that's a big solution when it comes to solving this problem, because you'll be able to see your blind spots that maybe you haven't seen, that are deep in the subconscious and are just a natural behavior at this point.
Yeah. You know? Like, it's to be straight about it. And you said something there early on about being proud of myself. And to be straight about it, a lot of guys, and I'm saying this from my own personal point of view, because this triggered the fuck out of me when I actually first got coached around it, is accepting that, is being in denial about who we are. Like, we say, even though you weren't proud of yourself, I still would have put myself as a very proud guy, even though I wasn't. And a lot of guys will ultimately deny how shitty their situation is. Like, how fucking upset and tick and angry they are at somebody, they will deny it to the ground. And just to put on that brave, tough guy kind of act and be there. And it's just so suppressive. It's super suppressive. And this, again, you're like, and the opposite to that then is like to be the nice guy, just conform with it and stuff like that. And it's just, when I first had to accept, I had to do this exercise, write out all the shitty things that I did not like about my life, and then actually openly speak about them to a person. Bro, I was like, fuck this. Like, after the coaching session, I threw the fucking thing against the wall, and then it's just, okay, I actually have to work on these things. But I see so many guys, and when I asked them, okay, like in the coaching session, if I'm talking to someone, like, what's more important to you? Like, the idea that you want to actually get better, or the idea that like you have to let your guard down and accept the fact that, and other people are going to see you for your disappointment and stuff like that. Is self-improvement that important to you that you're able to do that? And it's a big kind of, I don't know. One of the things of a nice guy, right? One of the behaviors of a nice guy is the walls. A sign that you're being a nice guy is you have these walls. And you've struggled very much to let somebody in very closely, fully, especially in intimate situations, because they're going to see the flaws, the perceived flaws in which you have on yourself, like the perceived things that you shame about yourself and stuff like that. And that's one of the signs. If you're kind of with somebody, or you know somebody, or you yourself, like, admit yourself, like, do I put up these walls? Do I let somebody in to see me fully? Am I afraid to let them see this perceived flaw or a negative trait about myself that I don't show to anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I think, and it's very easy to run from these things. I know I definitely did for a very long time as well, where you don't accept your reality for what it is. I mentioned there that there was a time where I wasn't proud of who I was. But before that, man, I was fully convinced that life was great, even though it was terrible. Okay. You know, and it was just like, you're convincing yourself that life is just what it is, whatever situation that you're in. You're accepting it as the reality that you find yourself in, and it would never get better. And then you have that maybe that group of friends that don't really hold you to a high standard. You have the drink at the weekend, you have the little things that move you forward and keep you going. But at the end of the day, if you were to look at what life could be, and there's your life can be anything you really want it to be. And when you allow that idea to come into your mind, it's easy for you to take a step back and be like, why isn't my life the way that I truly like to be, or truly like it the way to be? And then you can start to just become a little bit more honest with the situation you find yourself in. Because I went through this exact process. Like, I was looking at my life. I was addicted to drinking at the weekend. I was addicted to smoking weed. I was scrolling on social media. I was watching pornography. I was doing all these things. And I like telling myself that my life was good. And I was just lying to myself, just completely and utterly lying to myself. And it was only when I started to accept those things and be like, this is shit. Like, this is not good. Like, brother, like, you got to own up to some of these things and process this stuff. And it got to a point where it was so painful accepting some of those things, just even the thought of some of those things, where it got so painful where it was, okay, I'm just going to do a full 180. And that's where the process, that's where the change happened. That's where the transformation comes. And I'm not even anywhere like where I want to be, like not even close at all. But it's just like, even that transformation after a year, for example, has the biggest difference in your life forever. It changes the whole course of your life.
Yeah, it's mad. I was actually speaking to another guy in a podcast we just shot, and it's up. Guys, you should check it out. Blake Warren Thompson. Man, he hit rock bottom. Like, he literally like became a punchbag. I know myself, like, I was in psychotherapy. I had a complete emotional breakdown. And even at that, I still put up a facade or a face or a mask of life is grand. It's grand when things are grand. And I put up that kind of facade and mask, and I had to take a 180. But even for 2 years after that, I didn't really, I pretended I was doing personal development, kind of spiritual work and stuff like that. And it was only when I could dive into the weeds of it, like that, working with a coach, getting around a group of guys, or being in some sort of mastermind or something where it's, okay, I'm actually being challenged here mentally. And to own up to the fact that, yeah, life is fucking shit.
It's okay as well. That's actually okay. Yeah. It's okay because now you've accepted that, and now it can improve.
And that's the big part of even this night. Like, guys, if you're going to go down the road, if you notice some of these signs or traits that we've spoke about and you want to change that, I personally would advise, okay, get a coach. Also, if you don't want to get a coach or just want to branch into it, check out the book, No More Missing a Nice Guy by Robert Glover. I'm not an affiliate, by the way, just to let you know. But the whole idea is that you're going to have to accept some things, part of you, that you're going to have to become acceptant of it. And in first, it's triggering. But then it's okay, because now I know. And you're already ahead of 99% of the people out there because you're making that step and making that awareness. Some of the things I want to point out here is like some of the signs that you might pick up on here of with being a nice guy is. So if somebody points out perceived flaws, or if you've done something wrong and you're trying to, that would be considered bad in your eyes. And again, this is your perception, your perceived idea of what bad is. Because we've all come from our own experience. We've all had our own background and stuff like that. What we perceive things is different to what other people perceive things. But when somebody does bring their attention to this hidden part of yourself, you revert to lying. You draw on your own account. So things like, and I often hear this, see couples and stuff say this, is, oh, he's created brownie points. Or you have this notion of credit score that I do these good things now and they'll build up. So when I do something bad later, that it's okay. It's not the case. It's like you've done something bad, you accept it, you come to realization for it, and you take responsibility of it. But if you find yourself drawn to some form of an account that you've done previously, this is one of the signs. The other thing is, again, is like I mentioned earlier, me, I went straight into fix it mode. If I've hurt a girl or anything, it's like, I'll do anything, please, and whatever to solve the actual problem. Where the fact is, like, it's just a matter of taking responsibility, apologizing, and owning to your flaws or your badness or whatever it is, the perceived shame that you have on one of your traits. Next thing is then turning the toxic shame in which you are feeling onto somebody else. So, like, deflecting or like bringing up the past, something that they would have done that you know is. And this could be your friend or it could be a partner, but you know is like it's something that they are not, their self-esteem wouldn't be high around. And you reflect your own shame onto that point to take the attention away from you. Like I mentioned earlier, the walls, you put up walls to stop people from letting people in to actually see your perceived flaws and the things that you you feel is not accepted in society. And then the last thing then is literally you're like a smooth operator. It's like we mentioned before, you don't have an opinion too far right. You don't have an opinion too far left. And what happens is like you're so smooth that it's very actually hard for people to get on with you. It's very hard for people to create connection. And you might feel isolated and lonely and like you don't fit in with a group simply because people can't create that connection with you because you're so smooth and you're so perfect. We can't actually connect with people who are perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some good points, man. And also as well, just to add to that, if you're ever trying to find something to work with, for example, so let's say you've identified that you have some of these traits and you're trying to find, okay, what are my trigger points? One of the massive things that you can look at is if you see somebody else, let's say you're looking at another guy in the room, for example, this is where like we can talk a little bit about jealousy. If you see another guy in the room and there's some sort of jealousy there, maybe you're like, oh, that guy is X, Y, and Z, and you start to get like very defensive just by seeing how he operates, then that how that shows up is pushing towards resentment, right? Because what's very common I've seen is that some guys are resentful of other guys that embody characteristics and traits that they would love to have. And that's where like you can recognize that there's a nice guy within you. Because let's say, and this is the classic, right? You have the kind of the, if we'd use like lack of a better term, like the beta male, and you have the kind of alpha male, right? And then you see that, let's say there's one person, he's sitting down, he sees like this alpha male come into the room, that type of persona, right? And he starts to get resentful towards this person or starts to see that, oh, this guy is a dickhead, this guy is X, Y, and Z. And that is a clear indication that there's some sort of shadow form. There's a persona within you that you would love to have those traits, but you identify them as negative because you haven't accepted them within yourself. And therefore, the nice guy comes to the surface because you're like, no, it's far better to just be nice and just be quiet and all these things and to hold these things back. When in reality, the one who's having the most success. And you would love to have those traits, but you just haven't accepted that you actually desire to have those characteristics, which you actually do have inside of you already. You just haven't allowed them to be there because of usually the upbringing, the societal programming that comes with that, that has told you that this is a negative thing to have. And that's where we can go into a little bit about the like masculinity in general, which is like masculinity in this day and age right now is it's becoming more of a topical conversation because guys I think are really like need that sort of leadership. And in society, a lot of the time, it's perceived as this negative thing. And if you're a masculine man and you're like aggressive in any way, then it's a negative thing. When in reality, we need that part of us to be able to have success in life. And we're not fully men without it. So we need to be able to integrate that part of ourselves as well. And not just keep, obviously, the good parts that come from being nice as well. Obviously, you want to be pleasant and get along with people. We're not saying disregard that completely, but just being able to combine the two together and become whole as a man.
Yeah, 100%. Like we mentioned earlier at the start, you become integrated. Like you become integrated in your power. And guys, I want to actually point out here, like I'm not going to be up here and saying I'm this perfect picture. Like that's not the case here. I'm still working on a lot of these traits. And if you're getting into any of this work, like it's a longevity thing. It's not a thing that happens overnight. You have to realize is, for me anyway, it's okay. I started properly working on myself at 25 in terms of I was doing like personal development stuff from 23 to 25, where it was just reading books and like pretending. I literally was pretending. 25, okay, I started diving deep into getting proper coaches and stuff like that. I'm still working through a lot of this stuff. It's 25 years of programming within my mind that I'm changing. Like this stuff is built up over hours of the brain is active going and going and going. So like when you're actually changing or creating some sort of change, it's not like a one night, okay, I've listened to this podcast. I know these traits. Now I can change. It's like an ongoing process. But what happens is you start to notice things. Number one, your awareness comes insane. Like you're aware of the moments where, okay, for me, last week there was a moment where I actually repressed into, say, my nice guy traits, which isn't, again, it's not a bad thing. I have the awareness down, okay, next time that comes up and there's a situation, I have a meeting later on today in which I'm going to change what happened last week and do the thing. I've written out my journal and stuff like that. Okay, this is the behavior I need to embody here. And so, okay, I'm becoming more, stepping more into my power, my assertiveness, gaining courage and passion. I'm accepting these imperfections, mistakes, And again, embodying that kind of dark shadow side, it's an ongoing process. They call it personal development because it is development. It's not personal built. We're never going to be personal built. Like, it's this ongoing process. Because, and I just want to point that out there, like, that, like, we're bringing these lights to bring awareness to you. Yep. For me personally, anyway, I'm always working on these things. It's a constant work on for me, and it will be for the rest of my life. But I enjoy the work. I love it. So just to point that out to you guys as well.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. It's an ongoing thing. We're all on this journey together. And like you said, man, you never arrive there, which is, it's also the beautiful thing, because once you start to raise your awareness to these things, you start to really see that I've done these couple of years maybe, or maybe I'm just getting started, but there's so much ahead of you. There's so many things you haven't figured out yet, which is great because you can look forward to those breakthroughs. And I think it's really just, I know definitely for me, it's just having the commitment. Like committing to mastery, committing to knowing yourself, committing to being more than you've set the expectations for yourself right now, and just committing to that, like for life, and then taking control over your own direction, your vision, everything like that. And again, ongoing process for me as well, man. And it's just like something I truly enjoy. And I think once you do raise your awareness to it and you raise the bar for yourself too, it becomes a bit of a game, and you're just getting better and you're improving and your life improves with it and your reality changes. And you just have all of this kind of new life experience, which I think is the best part. So yeah. I think the commitment to it overall is just one of the best things you can do.
Like your internal, for me anyway, it's like my internal parameter of who I am, my value for myself has increased. Now again, like you never really reach there. And it's interesting. I was speaking to a guy a while ago, I'd say it's about 3 months ago now. And he's well, man. He's literally house, multi-million dollar business, really phenomenal in terms of the life he's created. And he was just like, Paul, there is no nirvana. I still work on these things every single fucking day. My self-sabotage, nice guy behaviors come up all the time. I'm like, if you were to step into my life, this is what would quote unquote nirvana be. But he's like, nirvana doesn't fucking exist. It's just literally, it does not exist. Like, you know, we have it in our eyes. I think it was the Buddha that said, like, the most of our suffering comes from the idea that we're not meant to suffer. Like, the idea that life is meant to be easy. It's not. And I think it's such a hard-hitting thing, but, like, when I wake up in the morning, it's one of the things, like, I'm doing the work and stuff like that, I'm going into work, because I enjoy what I do 100%, but I just always remind myself, it's not. It's never to be easy. Like, it isn't. It's easy to go through because I enjoy the work in terms of do whatever, 12 hours, 16 hours, no bother. But like the fact that it's like it's not meant to be easy, as in to get there anyway, and it never will be, I think.
Yeah, man, I 100% agree with that, because that was a big shift for me. Just realizing that this is not supposed to be easy; it's actually supposed to be hard. Therefore, your expectation is that it's going to be hard. And when I find myself, even when I wake up in the morning now, and I'm heading into a big day, I'm up at 5:30 a.m. and I start my day with some exercise, and I go into my routine and whatever. And I find that there's times where I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it at all. But I also get enjoyment from the fact that I do it anyway. Because it's like when you start to become aware of some of the things we're talking about here and you start to integrate those parts and you're on this journey overall, you'll start to get enjoyment from the pain. And that might sound crazy, but you start to get enjoyment from the progress and the pain and the fact that there's an old version of you that didn't want to show up and he would have just stayed in bed and turned off the alarm and snoozed it. But now you're at this level where it's like you enjoy that. You enjoy getting up and doing those things. And that's where, for me anyway, has been like truly fulfilling to actually wake up and look forward to those things. And that's like the simplicity of success sometimes, where it's just doing those things where you don't really want to do it, but you do it anyway. You show up anyway. And I just get the most fulfillment from those things. And I think that really comes from integrating these darker parts and just enjoying the pain overall.
Yeah, definitely. I think with the nice guy thing as well, just to round up here, like, guys, number one, it's hard to admit it. Like I said, it's very hard to admit it. When it kind of comes into your peripheral view, you're going to be curious with it. Like, you might listen to this podcast or whatever, see a video now after it, and you're going to be curious of it naturally because there's great benefits from it. Number one, you become more attractive to females, and that's a conversation for a different day. The other thing is, when you start to become more assertive and power, and like people like notice that and you notice that in yourself, it's worth it in a way that, like, it's not that you don't give a shit about what other people think, because everyone in some level or subconscious will lay some sort of a judgment on something. It has to keep us safe. It has to do that to keep us safe, unless you're like some monk that lives in a been meditating for 20 odd years. But the idea is that you can start to say things and what you feel. And when I started doing that, again, that internal kind of barometer of it's safe to do these. Because a big part of it, again, is we have that shame that we're not meant to do these things to the world. But like when you start doing it, it's, okay, what else can I do? What else can I say? What else am I? How else can I be like more, speak more about my opinions and my beliefs in the way that like, fine, this is, if that you don't like it, that's fine. You don't have to be a part of my world. And here's what happens. You start to create a world where, because you're doing this way and you're saying no and whatever, and you're stepping out of that kind of nice guy, you're not conformed with the whole average person. Not to discredit that area, if you want to stay in that life, that's fine. But you will start to create and attract, like Jordan here and myself are very much similar on the same level. And like I'm even noticing too, in terms of mindset and stuff like that, and what our beliefs and values. And I'm noticing that even outside of that, I'm starting to attract a lot more people that like, okay, because I'm starting to create the clear boundaries of myself and come away from those nice guy behaviors, it's like I'm starting to bring in the people that I actually fucking enjoy being around like so much. And even the relationships with my friends have gotten actually way better because I know what I'm doing. I know what's what and what's not what with me. And like, I won't go do the things I don't want to do anymore. And it's just your life, you get so much energy from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've like this rock solid self-confidence that you have within yourself because you're staying true to you. If you don't want to do something and you don't do it and you set boundaries and you're clear with those boundaries as well, where it's like, if this person does this, I don't agree with that, then I'm going to voice my opinion. Absolutely fine. They can keep doing whatever they're doing, but you don't agree with it and you can separate from that. And then you have this ownership of like self-confidence because that's where you stand and you draw the line there. And I think even just having that, the simplicity of that allows you to step up and be like, okay, what do I do want? And then asking the right questions to really create a new life for yourself. And again, like you said, you start to attract more people as well, which I think is very powerful. People on the same journey, people with the same mindset, and people who are also getting after the same thing, which I think is incredibly important for personal development overall.
All right, guys, we're going to leave it at there for today's conversation. And yeah, listen, if you're looking for a coach or anything like that, you can reach out either to Jordan. He's Jordan Mangan. He has a program at Timeless Mastery, or you can reach out to myself here at the Modern Men's Academy. And myself and Jordan are going to run a couple of more episodes on things that we're noticing, say, especially in the more Irish directed guys and stuff like that in terms of personal development. So if you're listening to this and you have questions, just reach out to either of us, or you want a specific show you'd like to hear us speak about particular things, again, reach out and let us know. We're happy to have these conversations and just start to get the ball rolling around conversations with personal development, growth, business, and anything in that kind of field, relationships as well. Do you have anything to finish off on, Jordan?
Yeah, no, I think you really summed it up well there, man. I think really the biggest thing that I found, you know, in the beginning for myself, when I was on this journey and I felt like there was no one really around me who was really talking about these things, and there wasn't that many podcasts going into these things, and I couldn't, or else, you know, maybe they were, but I couldn't find them. I found that reaching out to people like someone like myself or yourself is just a great way to open up the doors to like what's possible, because you've opened up into the world. So I think, yeah, definitely reach out. And if there's specific topics that you want, just drop them either a message to us or wherever you're seeing this or watching this. Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it, just to open up and have it as like a mini commitment to yourself that, yeah, this is something I'm going to pursue. I may not have all the answers. I may not figure it out right now, but I'm making the commitment to, yeah, I'm going to better myself. I'm going to develop in this way. I'm going to overcome some of these traits and become the best version of myself, because you already have it locked up inside of you. Sometimes you just need to pull back the layers and really just unlock it.
Nice. Cheers, Jordan.
Great to be here, Paul.